welcome to this week's show, the Crazy Gentleman Podcast. I'm your host, Crazy Gentleman. And this week's show is brought to you by Bare Knuckle Performance, bareknuckleperformance.com, home of the highest quality parts for your Harley Davidson and custom motorcycles. I feel like I'm in a fucking train station right now. Yeah, hit him up, man. Paul's got it. He's got all the goods. Shout out to Sam and Mike. Those guys are working their asses off, always cranking those parts out. And killer bikes. On Instagram and I think now X. Social media platforms. Also, Simbita custom _ custom knives on Instagram. Hit them up for the world's finest hunting and outdoor knives. SimbitaCustomKnives.com. Who else, dude? Lexin-Moto.com. Hit up Lexin Moto for the highest quality audio inside your helmet. We all just went for a ride. I was listening to tunes with Lexin. Yeah, punch in the code word crazy for 15% off at checkout. Hit up the bump shop backroom.com for my this video, dude. I don't know why GoPros do this, dude. I don't know why all these cameras. All these cameras are quirky. Hit up the bump shop backroom.com. It's your only place to get the Crazy Gentleman merch. Go order a t-shirt, go order a cool hat, anything from Rodney. I only got shirts on there. Rodney's got a whole list of stuff from motorcycle parts to clothing to weird vintage finds and his coffee company. Go get the hardtail blend. And yeah, that's about it. Shout out to the producer, Whiskey Eye. Oh, I also forgot. I'm surprised I remember this, but congratulations to Miss Mundy on your new El Camino. And the other reason I bring that up is I got this little Hot Wheels El Camino here. I'll put it on the GoPro. Right here. This little bad boy. So my goal, inspired by my man Tim Howley, who is currently doing this with a 1970 Chevelle, is we're trying to trade up from a Hot Wheels car to a real car. So I want an El Camino, he wants a 70 Chevelle, and it's on, dude. He started a much longer ago than I did. I'm just starting. But he's almost there, dude. He's got a Harley Night Train. So he's like a trade or two away from a Chevelle. It's pretty sick. Did you guys know this?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, if you guys could please support my stupid dream of getting an El Camino from a Hot Wheels car. Whoever wants a Hot Wheels car, maybe you got some Harley parts you want to trade.
You're only like $3,500 away.
That's it, dude. Yeah. Yeah, 35 hundo to go. Anyways, yeah, this week could also be brought to you by Chicken Fried Choppers.
Oh, who's that?
Who's that guy?
Never heard of that guy.
Yeah, so anyways, Rick, Chicken Fried Choppers, Brandon, Badfish Customs.
Yes, sir.
Here you guys are.
We're here.
Here we are.
We're here. We're here.
Doing the Death Podcast. yeah, I don't know. For anyone who's not watching, we're at my kitchen island here after a long, deathly weekend.
Yeah.
On Long Island.
Long night.
These guys took a visit, and here we are.
We are here.
Barely.
In the house that Rob built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flipping through old Ironworks.
Quite literally.
Ironworks magazine.
Quite literally. In the house I built. Flipping through some bikes that I've had my hand in.
Yeah. Circa 2010.
Yeah. Yeah. Old times, dude. I said I was going to post an Instagram of this, but I say that on every show. So I guess I get the opportunity to cut to the chase on this one. You guys want to see Brian at TPJ when he was a little baby? This is another one just for the YouTubes, the GoPros, which you guys should be watching. Oh. The world don't want to see Brian. I can't stand it. There's Brian.
Looking good.
Brian, I hope you're watching.
Living better.
The whole world is seeing you. Little baby you now. Anyways, yeah. We already talked about everything, so I'll see you guys next week. Show's over. What are we... I'm just going to let you guys talk.
Okay.
I already talked enough. I talked the intro.
Yeah, you do talk a lot.
I just hand it over to you guys now.
So, we wrote FXRs today. Well, Brandon wrote an FXR. It's an FXR 4. It's yellow. It's got an amazing tin set. Where did you get that bike from?
New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico. Yeah, you bought it off your buddy.
Yeah. It was a long journey.
Yeah.
Are we going to tell the whole story of the bike?
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
So I was out in New Mexico, amongst other places, on a road trip out west a few years back, about 5 years ago. And a bunch of us rode up to our friend Spencer's house in New Mexico. And he had just got this yellow FXR4.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it, and I was like... this guy has quite a bit of bikes too. Some really awesome bikes.
Like modern bikes or more vintage bikes?
No, this is the only modern bike he had at the time.
Okay.
Otherwise, slab side shovel and older.
Okay.
Knucks, pans, shovels, all kinds of cool stuff.
Definitely.
Several of this stuff. So anyways, I tell him, a guy that has bikes like that hears, oh, if you ever want to sell this. Mm. But I tell him, if you ever want to sell this R4,
mm-hmm.
I own this bike. I'm the captain now.
I'm coming to get this bike.
This is my bike.
100%.
So the fucking dickhead doesn't. And he posted on fucking FXR Bazaar, but I saw it like 2 minutes after it hit. And I called him up immediately, and I was like, take that fucking bike off the internet right now.
Uh-huh.
I told you I'm buying that bike.
Yeah.
So I wound up buying that bike.
Uh-huh.
And then my friend Nako, you guys might know Nako Chris, he's a Wall of Death rider. He works with the Ives brothers now. But he's ridden for several walls. I met him when we were working on Danny's wall. When we were working for the Wild Wheels Wall of Death. And now he's an Ives Brother guy. So he took it from... Because he's also in New Mexico. So he took it from New Mexico to Tennessee for me. And then...
brought it to the Motorcycle Music Revival.
Yeah, brought it to the Motorcycle Music Revival. And then Amy, the world-famous producer of this show... rode it back from Tennessee to Long Island. Hmm. And now it's here. I only did all of that legwork to get that bike across the country. The whole time, all I was dreaming about was Brandon riding it.
Hey guys, Whiskey Eye here. I just needed to interject because as much as they're all laughing about Brandon riding this FXR and that being why Rob wanted to bring it back, it's not 100% the truth. If you were around at the time, Rob had an obsession with Hulk Hogan and getting Hulk Hogan to ride that bike. We reached out multiple times. I went down to Clearwater, Florida to his bar to try and reach him at a karaoke event. I mean, we really tried. We wanted him to ride this bike or maybe even buy it, but we wanted some sort of Hulk Hogan connection. It never worked out. And I suppose Brandon from Bad Fist Customs is a decent enough runner-up.
I did it all for the... To get to this moment today. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Heavy hogging with the boys.
Just that. And now I'm ready to sell it. Now my life is complete. So yeah, anyways, that's the journey of that bike. And I rebuilt most of that bike. I tore it down basically to the frame, the drivetrain, and the wiring harness. I did a lot of work on the bike, fully rebuilt the front end, brakes, tires, wheel bearings, like, I mean, just really did the bike. Like, Brandon rode it today. He woke me up with it. And his comment was, dude, that bike fires right up and it is cherry. It's a ripper too, man. Like, it's a ripping bike. But all joking aside, I am selling the bike. I did try to raffle it off for a minute, but apparently it's a controversial bike and nobody wants yellow bikes.
Yeah.
Brandon hated on it until today.
I fell in love with that bike real quick.
When Rick was taking pictures of it on the beach today and he saw it in the sun, he was like,
yeah.
He's like, I don't like yellow bikes, but I'm falling for this one.
I didn't say that. I like yellow bikes.
No, Brandon said that. Oh, Brandon said that.
Yeah. Pulling up to the stop sign, looking down at that yellow paint. It's tight. It grew on me real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to hate all that yellow and chrome, dude.
Yeah, and it's got like a bunch of pearl on it, too. So it's like nice and floppy. It's not just like a banana.
Yeah.
Banana boat.
Yeah, for people that have never, that don't know FXRs or never saw an R4, they call that factory color Sun Glow Yellow. And the FXR4 was the first CVO Harley ever made. And that started the CVO program. And they call that bike Sun Glow Yellow because it's a heavy metallic yellow that, dude, when it hits the sun,
it pops.
It's fucking popping.
It pumps.
Yeah. But yeah, and that thing's like, yeah, it's fully rebuilt. Like I said, gold tubes in the front end, too. I figured that would look cool on that bike.
That twin cam's killer.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's a twin. We didn't even mention that. It's a twin cam bike.
Twin cam, blonde motor.
Arguably one of, or the first twin cam in the country. It was done back in 01. I mean, the twin cams only came out in 2000, you know, and the bike is a 2000. So it's like,
yeah.
And it was done in 01 by a dealer, the dealer the bike came from. And the timing cover from that dealer is still on there. The bike's originally from Vacaville, California. I don't know, man. That's the history. I'm only the third owner of the bike. My friend Spencer only rode it a couple hundred miles. He's an old bike guy. He just wasn't into it. And then Destiny brought it to New York. Let's bring it back to California. Whoever's listening, man, buy it up. By the time this drops, I will have already given everyone their money back and canceled the raffle and all that. Once you guys leave, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's the story with that bike, Rick. I hope you're happy.
I'm happy.
The world now knows the
I'm
story.
I'm very happy.
The bike that never saw the internet.
Fun history moment.
Yeah.
This is how stupid I am. I don't know anything about FXRs. Did they make one factory twin cam FXR? Or was
not a single
every
one.
Single one was Evo?
Every FXR is an Evo.
Yeah.
There is
or
never,
shovel.
Ever, yeah, or shovel.
2 years of that.
There's never been a twin cam FXR, which I think the factory fucked up on. I think they should have made R4s twin cam bikes.
Absolutely.
From the factory.
Yeah.
That would have been a smash today to get one of them. Those bikes would probably be worth double today. If it was the only twin cam FXR from the factory.
Sure.
But it is what it is. I guess that's what makes the conversions a little more special. I don't know.
Which is interesting because that bike's a 99?
2000.
2000. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Last FXR ever, which is another interesting little thing. That on the inside of the timing cover, on the inside of the side cover is signed Robert. Some dude at the factory. I'm still trying to hunt it down. If anyone can help me hunt down whoever was Robert that was working for Harley Davidson at the time, signed that inside of that side cover, the last Evo, and then he dated it 9/13/2000.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I've contacted Nick from FXR Bazaar. He doesn't seem to know anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping a bunch of Milwaukee guys listening right now like can hook
run
me up.
A VIN number or something.
Yeah.
In a database.
I think it would just be rad to talk to that guy and be like, yeah, I own that bike. And
yeah.
It's so funny that you put the last Evo on that side cover.
Totally.
And now it's a twin cam bike.
It's a 2000 model year.
Yeah.
And what was the date on it?
September, I think it's September 13th, 2000.
Yeah.
I don't know when they actually stopped producing and building them. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know the story behind it. I want
to
know.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see, like, when the last ones, like, came off the line that model year to kind of give you, like, a frame of reference.
Right.
Or is Robert the guy at the shop that twin cam swapped it, like, later on in 2000, like, that same year? You know, like, that'd be an interesting avenue, because didn't you say that, like, one of the covers on it has, like, the Harley-Davidson dealership information of where
the
bike originated from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank on the dealer name, but it's in Vacaville, California.
Yeah, and obviously they did pretty extensive work, you know, like if they motor swapped a bike, right. You know, like it's not like a regular Harley Davidson dealership.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too.
Little touchy factory.
It's, for people that know the twin cam swaps, it was done with a conversion plate from the transmission to the engine.
Yes. Yeah.
And Vulcan makes that plate.
Yeah.
But me and Brandon were just looking at it. We don't even think Vulcan, we don't think anyone was making those plates at the time. Yeah. It looks, and like they factory matched it, like it's not a machine finish like yeah. any other plate we've ever seen.
Yeah, like maybe like somebody's prototype or something.
We think someone made it one off back then. Sure. You know?
Well, I mean, it was right in the year range of like where people would be doing that. Like right. in 2000, the twin cam only existed for 1 year before that, and right. they were in Road Kings and Dynas.
Right. I want to say the Dyna was the first one to get a twin cam in 99. Yeah. Or was it the Road Kings?
Usually.
One of them got it in 99.
Yeah. I could be very wrong, but I kind of feel like that Harley always leads their new drivetrains with baggers.
Mm. You're right about that.
Right? Because didn't the Milwaukee 8 bagger come out first before every other one?
But I think 99 Dynas were twin cams. And then soft tails and everything else followed in 2000.
Because those everything with the A motor came out early. And then the soft tail is the only one with the B motor, right?
That's what I'm saying. Which is interesting
that they had one model of bike have a different motor. I never really thought about that.
The other interesting part, too, is this is the other theory on FXR4s. They say that they only brought them back because they had an excess of Evos. Because they only made 600 of these.
Yeah.
And 400 of the orange ones. And that was it.
Oh, really?
Those are all the R4s in the world that ever got made.
I didn't know that. It was such a rarity.
So, like, they're rare bikes, dude.
Yeah.
How many got wrecked, you know?
Sure,
like, I personally have a friend that fucking wrecked one, you know? Yeah. Like, how many got wrecked? I don't know how many are in existence still.
Yeah.
But you're talking only in the hundreds.
Yeah.
You know? But the theory always was, and I don't think this is true, the theory was Harley had an excess of Evos left over from the twin, once they started transitioning twin cams.
Sure.
That's why that was still an Evo bike.
Yeah.
They just did that as like the one throwback traditional thing.
Yeah, well, it makes a lot of sense because like if they wanted to reinvent the entire wheel and like reinvent the FXR to have a twin cam motor, like that would have been like such a heavy up, you know.
Yeah.
A heavy lift, and it's like, well, if we just make this one bike for one last model year, we don't have to change anything.
Right, right.
We're just going to put all of the spare parts basket in it, and we're just going to run it.
Yeah.
We have 1,400 bikes worth of parts, and we're going to run them all.
Right, right.
Or whatever it was.
Right, which is another theory.
800?
Yeah. It was like 600 of mine, and then 800, and then 400.
So it's only like 1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like less than El Diablo numbers by almost half.
Mm-hmm. This is what I'm saying, like, no matter how you slice it, there's only hundreds of those bikes left.
Yeah.
They never even made them in the thousands.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, what the hell is left? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I've seen guys part them out. Like, even the ones that didn't get wrecked, I've seen parted out. Most of them at this point aren't original.
Yeah. You know?
Like, most guys are hot rodding them now and shit.
Yeah.
Mine is actually one of the more original ones I've ever seen.
Yes, yeah,
besides the twin cam in it.
Yeah.
And the gold tubes that I put on it now.
Sure.
But other than that, like I still actually have the factory Fox shocks for it, too.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. But we're going down a rabbit hole here of nerd now for a second. But for people that don't know, those Fox shocks ride a little harsher. They're only 12-inch shocks. Mm. I put 13-inch shocks on this bike.
Yeah.
But I have the original Fox shocks for it, too.
Realize it came with Fox.
Yeah. Which is another, like,
little quirky thing that happened.
Yeah. But, yeah, like I said, most of them are not as original, and I've never seen one paint that nice.
Yeah.
No. Mine is, that is showroom fucking paint, dude.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
It's sick, dude. So, yeah, anyways, that's where we're at. That's my sales pitch, I guess. Spun off into that.
Somebody buy it.
Somebody buy it, right?
Or don't, so I can keep riding it when I come out here.
Mm. Oh, God, dude. There's plenty of bikes to ride.
Yeah.
There's enough. Yeah.
I think that that's interesting is because, like, Harley-Davidson is, like, one of the most, you know, it's the most iconic motorcycle brand there is, yeah, obviously, mm-hmm, for America, especially. In my personal opinion, loving them, but, you know, like, there is a lot of documentation on them, and there's 1.5 million books that document them and everything, but I think that up until, like, the FXR Bizarre book, right, no, like, in my opinion, maybe I'm wrong and I just haven't found it yet, but, like, there's no, like, internet resource that's, like, here's every Harley paint color. Right. You know, because, like, I was trying to figure out, like, paint names for, like, a mid-2000s Softail, which were in high production numbers then, so that should be, like, a relatively easy thing to figure out, you know, like, computers were a thing, and, right, you know, right, cameras were a thing, you know, like, we weren't dealing in, like, the Stone Age of, like, the 50s or anything.
Right.
And, but there was definitely, like, starting to have that explosion of a lot more paint schemes, you know, like, I think that maybe I have a 2000 Softail that had, like, a numbered paint set. Like, this was, like, the pink Boneyard graphics, like, number of 600. But I don't really know if, like, in the 90s, like, were they doing that, you know, like, were they doing factory, you know, and you guys are FXR guys, so you would definitely know a lot more about that than I do. But, like, were there, like, random FXRs of, like, random specialty colors that you could order at the dealership? Yes. And
dude, there was colors, correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, but, like, there were color schemes that, like, were less than 40 made.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking real low production numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, some of the two-tone ones. Yeah. There's like a magenta-looking one. They made, like, 36 of them.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's some... I have the FXR Bizarre book.
Yeah.
Which is by far the best source of information that's ever been made for FXRs.
Yeah.
But he breaks it all down in there with a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
I know someone now that's selling one of those magenta sets. I think it's, like, one of 36, he said.
Huh.
Ever made.
Yeah.
Never mind. Same thing. What's left?
And
like,
that, is
five
that,
of them?
Yeah.
Is that
like, you're never going to see that again.
Yeah.
Dude. You know?
And is that, like, I wonder if it's numbered directly on it? You know, like, because...
That I don't know.
The tank set that I had was, like, specifically numbered by Harley.
I don't think these rare paint jobs we're talking about are numbered. No. Even the R4s, none of them are numbered.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know when they start. I think almost like the 100th anniversary stuff.
Probably.
Was one of the first, like, when they started really numbering from there on out.
Yeah.
I think they realized the power of actually putting the numbers on the bike.
Yeah.
How that correlates to sales. Because everyone thinks they have something special at that point.
Yeah. And I mean, in some cases, they definitely do. In some cases, you know, like, it could be a hitter, you know.
Right.
It could not be, you know, but, like, I went to a Harley-Davidson dealership in Indianapolis a couple weeks ago, and we were thumbing through some of the Livewire stuff, which I know isn't really piquing anybody's interest at all right now, but it was pretty cool because they had, like, one of the original Livewires there, and it has, like, a special badge on the gas tank, and it says First Strike. And it's got, like, you know, like, lightning bolts on it.
Right.
And it's just, like, it's pretty sick that this is, like, if you were, like, one of the first dealerships to order a Livewire, then you would get, like, one of these First Strike ones. And, like, let's be honest, you know, like, that bike, in my opinion, isn't necessarily changing the world.
Right.
How many of those are going to exist, you know, like, that could be something interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Also, there's a lot of other things to think about with that, but you're talking about, like, a battery-operated bike. So it's not like you could just, like, drain the oil out of it and stick it in a corner and then maybe, like, replace, like, 5 gaskets in 40 years and fire it back up.
Right.
You know, like, you might be dealing with something that's a lot different. And, you know, maybe we have some Moto Gadget battery plug-in, you know? And you're putting, like, an anti-gravity size battery in, like, this giant battery holder because technology advanced so much.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, there could be a lot of options like that in the future. You know, maybe there's, like, some little nuclear reactor freaking Back to the Future thing that we come up with that somehow gets legalized. You know, like, who knows what the future looks like.
I'm hoping the aliens bring it to us.
That one's cool.
Yeah.
But I will say, if we're going to bash the live wire, I also rode the S2 Del Mar.
I never heard of that.
Which is the new live wire. And if you're going to ride something, go ride that thing at a dealership. Yeah. Because it is like a weapon. Really? A weaponized Harley Davidson. Like,
you rode one too?
No.
They're really small. They're really light. It's set up like a dirt bike. It's got dual 19s on it. And the thing is gone. And they are very fun. And you pull up to a stoplight with somebody else that's on one, and you just like sit there and laugh about how ridiculous they are in dead silence because you're both on electric bikes.
Damn. Yeah, I couldn't imagine riding an electric bike. Like, I would love to do it, but I could never imagine myself owning one.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely changed my viewpoint a little bit on it because it's like, they're fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you could really be an asshole on a different level. Because you're doing it in silence, you know what I mean?
Dude, I don't need any more reasons to be an asshole.
Well, like, I'm not trying to out this dude that we were riding these bikes with, but we were going at a maximum rate of speed in a very residential neighborhood. and it really wasn't raising any red flags to anybody.
Damn. Dude, I do hear a lot of awesome feedback from guys I know that have ridden electric dirt bikes on dirt tracks.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, dude, it's wild. Like, the torque you get out of corners
pull.
And you're just doing it silent. They say all you hear is that chain.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Crazy, man.
There's something there, you know, like, I don't think that we have it quite figured out yet, you know, but it's a lane. And at the very least, I think that it's an indication that, like, even if the future looks a lot different than what we're used to, it's not going to be any less fun.
Right, right. We'll figure it out.
I mean,
we'll be having fun.
Yeah.
That's a promise.
Yeah, there's still a huge potential of hurting yourself out there. You know, it's not like they're taking any of the fun out of it.
One thing's for sure, Rick. Tomorrow is going to be a bit different.
Tomorrow's going to be a different day.
Tomorrow's going to be a different day.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. I feel like, does it matter if we talk about this weekend?
We went to Pat's house.
Way too fucking drunk last night. Yeah.
We had some of the best pizza Long Island has to offer. That was delicious.
Yeah, I did blow your guys' minds with the taste buds.
That was excellent.
Stayed up way too late.
We seen one Patrick Infante of Saddleman Seats.
Oh, yeah, dude.
He's got a very nice large-size TV in his garage, and he gave us the rundown of all of their latest products and really gave us, like, a nice brand rep version of, you know, what's coming out of their factories, and it looks very appealing for sure.
Mm-hmm. We did get a heavy Saddleman pitch last night.
We did. It was great. I like it.
It was cool to go down some of those rabbit holes.
Yeah, because, like, I feel like I get lost in, like, the mid-90s sometimes, you know? And it's like, if somebody wants to sit there and tell me about motorcycles, I am more than happy to just sit and listen. So, you want to light off on me about, like, actual suspension components or, like, you know, like battery setups, you know, that are installed in, like, the correct charging system bikes? I'm here for it. Tell me. I want to know.
Right.
I'm stupid.
Tell me about the new blue foam that's in Saddleman seats.
Tell me.
Not the black foam.
Not the black foam.
Explain to me what sintered and non-sintered brake pads are, because in my opinion, they're either $60 or $30, and there's one that I'm going to buy.
Right.
And that's the cheap one.
Right.
Every time.
Yeah. No, it was rad. And, it was you, for the first time, Rick, that saw fueling 4-valve heads, too, right?
Yeah, never seen them. That was very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad that he pulled those out because they're aggressive. And, you know, like, those aren't around. You know, how many sets of those do you think exist out in the wild?
It's not a ton.
I don't know.
They had to be extremely expensive brand new.
I might be screwing this up, but Paul will let me know. Supercharged FXR that Paul just built, that 124.
Uh-huh.
I believe that has 4-valve heads on it.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is just wild. Like, I can't even, like...
Yeah.
When I spoke to him last, he just said, like, he cranked it quick in first and second, and he said it's the most rowdy bike that he's ever ridden.
I want to hear him.
Like, and he's obviously ridden a lot of fucking sick bikes.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
He said it was just insane. Yeah. Like, he just...
I mean, that could also be the supercharger, too, hanging off the side of it.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, I'm not just saying because of the heads, but all together, I mean, it's a supercharged 124. Like, hot rod to the max, dude.
No need for that.
Yeah.
No need at all.
Yeah, crazy, dude.
I think that I would very much prefer to be his size and weight on a bike like that versus my 6'4", 180 pounds on the best day, not putting any type of pressure on that rear tire.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, I'd light that thing up from fucking here to St. Louis, man. Yeah, it'd be wild.
Oh, hey there, world. Quick reminder, if you have a clapped out pile of crap like this FXR here, if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to go to Kenny's House of Horsepower, Kenny's House of Horsepower on Instagram, and get your clapped out piece of crap FXR or any Harley engine all fixed up by summertime, man. Kenny's your man, Phoenix, Arizona. He'll receive and ship out engines all over the world, and especially inside the lower 48. Hit him up, man, just in time for summer. Kenny will get you straight. Any sort of restoration or high-performance Harley needs. Okay, back to the show.
Dude, you get into that R4 a little bit? That thing will light, that thing will light up a tire.
Yeah. I let her read a few times. I was trying to pull on you.
Dude, it comes on at 3,500.
It does. It's
hard.
Like sluggish, and then all of a sudden it turns on and it pulls.
Oh, God, dude. When it starts pulling, it takes you. Dude, it takes you by surprise because it just feels like a normal fucking engine. And then it fucking comes into that range where those cams are dialed for. And it's just like, holy shit, dude. The thing just surprises you.
Yeah.
Because you also think, I don't know about you guys, in my head, whenever I get on like a 90s styled or like a Hell Yeah Brother styled bike and it's fast, it surprises the shit out of me. Because you just think of those bikes as like slow, like old daddy bikes.
Slugs.
Not that you think of that one like that, but like in my head, I just think of it like a 90s Hulk Hogan bike.
Yep.
And that motherfucker turns on, dude. You're like, where did this come from? Hulk Hogan, you took steroids today.
I always think that it's like funny riding bikes like that that have like kind of like low slung drag bars, you know? Like it just puts you in like a position that you're not particularly used to being in.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. It's just like, you kind of like, it makes like the tank feel big.
Yeah.
You know, like it just makes you feel like you... They're not anywhere near close to beach bars. Like, they're just drag pullbacks, you know? But, like, it almost feels like beach bars, and it's like...
Yeah.
Man.
I think they're... I actually think they're wider Sportster bars.
Yeah.
I think. But, I don't know. They're pretty damn close to Sportster bars, though. Just on lower risers. Yeah. And yeah, you're right. With that tank, it just makes it feel... It's just different. It's not what you expect.
It's not T-bars.
Yeah.
I've never ridden FXR without T-bars.
Oh, man. I have. I've ridden with ape hangers, Z-bars. I bought that one. I'm twin camming now. I bought that. I flew to Illinois to buy that bike, and it had Z-bars on it, and I rode it home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't
like,
bad, though. It was
like
comfy.
The Z-bars, you know?
Yeah, I still have them in
like
the basement.
Like 1 1/8 inch that, like, taper down to one?
No, no. They were just straight 1-inch Z-bars.
Okay.
Have
you ever tried to internally wire the bars that are, like, an actual Z?
No, but I've tried to wire the Z-bars like that, just the one Z. It sucks, you know?
Yes.
It really sucks. I actually had Biltwell Frisco bars on my 90, the one with the stickers, the only bike everyone thinks I have.
Yeah.
I actually had Frisco bars on that for a while. And they did look really cool with that lowrider tank and shit.
Yeah.
But I completely, over the years, I got used to them kind of, and I forgot how bad it takes the handling out of those bikes. Your ability to really control those bikes is... sucks.
Yeah.
So before I did the setup that's on there now, I went to 6-inch riser with a Sportster bar.
Yeah.
It was a game changer. I was like, why did I keep these Friscos on this whole time?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that'll change a bike up faster than putting a set of handlebars on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, dude.
In terms of, like, an immediate difference where, like, it's now an entirely different thing.
Yeah. That was one of the times, though, I think those Frisco bars were partly to blame that I saw my life flash in front of me. I'm serious. I went into a death wobble.
Uh-huh.
I came through the traps, and I usually will run through the traps on that bike at the top of fifth. Like, I'll kiss the rev limiter or hit the rev limiter sometimes, but I don't want to shift sixth. So on that particular pass, I pulled sixth gear. And even after I came through the traps, I'm like, fuck it. I want to stay in it. I'm an idiot. I don't even have a speedo on the bike. But in my head, I'm like, I want to see how fast I can go.
Yeah.
And a few times on the street, I took that bike cranked out in sixth gear before.
Yeah.
This story I'm telling, too, is with your engine on it. That engine that's in your bike now. And I had that motherfucker flat out, dude. I came good way through sixth. Not topped out, but eventually, dude, the wall's coming and you got to hit the brakes.
Yeah.
But before I had a chance, in my head, I was thinking about rolling out of throttle any second now.
Yeah.
And then the motherfucker went into a death wobble, dude.
Sucks. I hate that.
And my friend Dan was videoing, but he didn't. He just cut it out and put the video on the time and all that, you know? But he said, dude, when you went into that wobble, like the whole, because, dude, you got a picture. It was like the fastest street bike there that day. And it's fucking, I'm wheeling clean through the 60-foot mark. Like,
yeah.
On this wacky looking bike.
Yeah.
And so everyone's eyes were on me. He said that when the fucking bike went into that wobble, the whole crowd just went, oh, like I thought I was putting it down, dude. I saw my life flash in front of me. I'm guessing I was doing north of 160.
Oh my God.
I've done almost 170 on the street.
Really?
Next to other bikes, other street bikes. Like, imagine raging fast like that on that bike next to an R1, dude.
Yeah.
Like, and they're not pulling ahead of you. Like, we're running, dude. Like, I'm guessing at that time I was in that 160 range. Like, I've had the bike up faster than that.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing those Frisco bars were a handful to ride like that, dude. Like,
yeah.
It was not T-bars, I'll tell you that.
I think the only thing that I'd be interested in even considering riding that fast would be, like, maybe a Pan America.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the only bike where I feel like...
Something dialed from the factory.
Probably.
Not something I built.
Yeah, definitely not something, dude. Like
I've done
90 miles an hour on anything that I've done, you know, maybe 80.
I almost did 190 on my R1, and I could tell you which one feels scarier at 170.
Yeah,
it's a Harley.
Yeah,
it's fucking scary, dude.
That is a bet.
And the R1 is not scary.
Oh, you know? I bet.
Yeah.
I bet, especially good time. On the street.
But one of my dreams is I want to do 200 on an FXR at Bonneville.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my dreams. It's been a dream forever, man.
More than doable gearing.
And, I always said I wanted to do it on that 90, the one I'm talking about with this death wobble.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the other reason I think that could have death wobbled also at the time. I wasn't running Dyna beads yet.
Yeah,
and I've had that bike up that fast again plenty of times. I think the Dyna beads are the fucking bee's knees, dude. Yeah,
sure.
But anyways, I always said I want to do 200 on the 90, the one that everyone knows.
Yeah.
And now that I'm M8ing it, like I was telling you, it's gonna be a wild child. And those guys that are giving me advice, they're building two Land Speed FXR M8s now.
Sure.
So I definitely want to be one of the guys that does it, man.
Yeah.
Except I'm gonna do it a lot different. Yeah, I don't want to spill it on the podcast, but what I'm talking about, they all recommend that I don't do it. So makes me want to do it even more. So we'll see. But I don't know. I feel like I'm talking more than I ever have on a podcast. You guys need to talk.
We're having a good time. Yeah.
My allergies are killing me. I just took Sudafed.
Yeah.
That made me feel even worse. Now I feel like I need a nap.
The prime podcast time has certainly surpassed Brandon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm about 48 hours too late for prime podcasting, Brandon. Yeah.
I've checked out.
Let's talk pie in the sky stuff. Let's do some like speculations.
I'm already talking about doing 200 on a twin carb. Some dream
machines. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, on a twin carb M8. That M8 in the back room is the one I'm doing it with.
Yeah.
That's happening, dude. Yeah. Like the puzzle pieces are going.
Oh yeah, you already got the whole drivetrain. You got a frame downstairs waiting for something.
Yeah, I got the trees down. I got a lot of bad boy shit downstairs. You saw those trees down there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be a ride, dude.
Yeah.
I was telling him about the wheel, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a bad ride, dude.
Yeah.
I can't wait. After this twin cam, that's gonna be the next one. As soon as I'm in this new house, I'm gonna that's gonna be the first project is
yeah.
M8 fire breathing fucking dragon, dude.
Yeah.
Yes. Crazy.
I think my favorite part about motorcycling is just getting to spend different times on different bikes. You know, like, I spend a lot of time, like, flipping stuff around, you know, like, getting that Kawasaki police bike.
Right.
You know, and, like, that just sends my interest into just trying more stuff. You know, like, I don't know. I've never ridden a street bike, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah, we were talking about this.
I mean, dead serious, probably the fastest motorcycle I've ever ridden is your, Lowrider S, like, basically bone stock?
Yeah.
Or does it have a cam in it?
No.
Like, that's probably legit, probably the fastest motorcycle I've ever ridden.
Damn.
You know, just
because... I mean, it's fast.
New bikes, you know? Like, I think the newest motorcycle I've ever owned was probably a 2002.
Really? Oh, yeah, that's true.
So
I just figured, though...
I don't have any frame of reference, but, like, I've never ridden a street bike. Like, I would have loved, like, just a Gixxer... Like an old 90s street bike, you know, I did something stupid.
Yeah.
I'm like itching to get back into like vintage dirt bike stuff. Like, I love, you know, like little restoration projects. And, you know, like, I'd love to get like a Bull Taco and race that. Or
I thought you had one. Or you had a Husky.
I had a Husqvarna.
Right.
1980 WR250.
Damn.
Yeah. That was a very fun bike.
Dude, it kills me. I ran out of time and the weather was shit yesterday, so we got screwed on riding anyway.
But yeah, totally.
I wanted to go to the new house and fucking get the other bike, dude. I really wanted you guys. Next time I see you, I'm going to make you ride that bike.
Okay.
If you think that low... I was telling Brandon when you were taking pictures of my bikes at the beach.
Uh-huh.
Fucking... Dude, you had mentioned, like, it's quick or whatever, and Brandon was saying the same thing, and I'm like, dude... There was like a 6 month period of time where I only rode that bike. Like when I got it, I was so excited, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't touch the other bikes really.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not the fast FXR.
Yeah.
And the first time
I. Your Lowrider S?
Yeah. This bike you rode today versus the bike bike with the stickers everywhere. Sure. I thought that Lowrider, I'm like, this bike cranks, it's fucking fast, whatever. Dude, I got back on that FXR, and then I was like, wow, I remembered what a fast bike feels like.
Yeah.
And then I got back on the Lowrider, and the fucking thing felt like I was riding a stock bike. I was like, this thing sucks. No, I want a Kamen.
Yeah.
But, no, those M8s are just, those M8s are fucking powerhouses.
But like, it's just butter smooth, and you know, like, Harley Davidson shifting has come.
Yeah.
You know, like, to me, the pinnacle of, like, shifting is, like, an Evo Sportster 5-speed.
Right.
You know, like, especially if you ever, like, mess around with, like, a turtle top.
Yeah.
You know, like, 19-mid-80s 4-speed. You know, it's just like, God.
Yeah.
You couldn't shift into gear, like, if you had to, if your life depended on it. Yeah. You know, like...
Yeah, it feels like a Model A, dude.
Yeah, and that thing, it's just, like, it's so butter smooth when you click all the way down, like, you get, like, a nice, you know, like, it has, like, it doesn't feel like you're ruining anything, like, it feels like it's, like, made to go past.
Yeah, honestly, Harley really nailed it with those M8s.
Yeah, like, I mean,
I say really, they're the best thing they've ever built since the FXR.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hard to hate. Like, they're hard to hate, man.
Yeah, and the fit and finish is pretty legit, too. You know, like, they're just good-looking bikes. Everything, you know, like, looks very nice and very, like, everything matches itself very well. Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, it's one of those things where, not that the motor company was, like, dying, in a sense, but if they didn't step their game up,
Sure.
And
it was time for a change.
It was. Yeah. And that's why I hesitate to say this. Like, it saved the motor company.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, it kind of did. Like, those M8 bikes are a huge departure in a good way.
Yeah.
From what they've been building.
Sure.
I love what they've been building. But I say the same exact thing about when they went from Evo to Twin Cam.
Yeah.
I do think at that time, that saved the motor company at that time also.
Yeah.
Because how much longer could they have fucking pushed the Evo for?
Yeah.
Like, in a time when, like, all these things were happening, like...
Sure.
You know, like, just everything. Technology was booming.
Yeah.
Everything was getting more refined. Cars, fucking houses...
Yeah.
Other motorcycles. I think in a sense another few more years of Evo.
Yeah.
And it would have fucking impacted the motor company bad, I think.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have put them out of business, but I think it would have really impacted things.
Yeah.
I think the same thing about the M8s. Like, I think the M8s kind of like were another thing that, like, it kept Harley relevant, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, like, really kept them in the game.
But I mean, the twin cams were major because, like, you just had, like, I don't think that they were, I don't know, I could be wrong with this too, I'm talking out of my ass, but I usually do.
We all are.
But I feel like that, you know, like, maybe the Evolution motor was at least, you know, like, it was just around longer, so people already knew how to make power out of it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the twin cams, like, I feel like that there's, like, a limit of how much power you could get out of a twin cam before you hit, like, a wall where you have to spend a tremendous amount of money.
You're right
about
that. To
get an amount of power out of it that, like, the M8 blows away off the, you know, like, off the factory floor.
Yes.
You know, like...
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy, you know? So, I think that, like, Evolution was, like, the motor that, you know, gave Harley power. They had, like, a huge customizability to them. You know, like, they were reliable. But then the twin cam, like, really maximized reliability. And the M8 is where they figured out reliability and power at the same time.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like...
For sure.
I think that that was the one that kind of brought it all together.
Yeah. Yeah.
From what I could tell. Yeah. and having ever ridden exactly one of them... Ever.
This was your first M8
for
also?
Probably 15 minutes.
No shit.
Yeah, I've never ridden an M8 before.
Oh, wow.
No.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, they're wild. Dude, I took that thing. This is before I had a tune on it.
Uh-huh.
The year I took it to EDR.
Uh-huh.
I stopped at the Fast Life camp out.
Yeah.
And I forgot the fucking kid's name. We follow each other on Instagram, too. Oh, god damn it. I don't remember his name. I'm not gonna. But anyways, we went for a beer run from Adam Sandoval's place to town, which is like whatever, 15 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
He was on an M8, I was on an M8. Dude, both of us.
Yeah.
So those bikes are speed limited at 120 from the factory.
Yeah.
We fucking held it pinned out
from
K River all the way to town at 120, dude. Passing fucking cars the whole time, listening to the bike just bounce off the speed limiter.
That's hilarious.
Don't have a limiter in it now that it's tuned, but like,
yeah,
dude, I'll never forget that ride, dude. Like, oh my god, it was so fun. Those M8s are they're fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah,
they're so awesome.
It was funny because my first cross country trip was in 2021 when me, you, and Amy were all in Mexico together for El Diablo run.
Right.
And the original plan was is that me, you, and Amy were gonna ride home across country together.
Oh,
and I was on a Sportster, like a stock. Well, it was built up a little bit, but nothing too crazy.
Right.
And I'm riding it, and I'm like, Amy's on a brand new Lowrider S. I think that you were on your
that was the
even
year.
Newer Lowrider S.
Yeah, yeah, she had the Lowrider S Dyna
with
twin
the
cam.
DualShock.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was on the, that's the bike that that's the year that I stopped at the Fast Life to this story I just told you.
Yeah.
I was on this bike.
You were on your way to Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, how in the universe, like, they're gonna hate it, you know? Because, like, I'm on such a slow bike, like, I have to stop every, like, 65 miles playing it safe, you know, with like gas stops across I-10, you know, across the entire bottom of the country.
Oh yeah, you miss one and you're out of gas.
Yeah. And I was just like, I was so worked up about how I'm gonna like, how much of an inconvenience I'm gonna be to you guys. And I'm just like, I just don't understand how they can ride motorcycles so fast, you know? Like, 80 miles an hour to me feels like, you know, like I'm like holding on for dear life. Yeah. And then even just like after riding that bike today, it's just like, oh yeah, I could 100% understand how you could be screaming across this, you know, the country in triple digit numbers. It's this thing is on in first and second gear.
Yeah.
You know, like I can't even imagine, you know, like how smooth it is at like max RPM.
Yeah. Those M8s are so smooth and so easy to do it.
Yeah.
You'll start off trying to do 70 and just like you're just on the road.
Yeah.
Dude, you'll look down sometimes and be like, I'm doing 95.
Yeah.
And you don't feel like you're going any faster than 70.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
I also know that I'm very well aware that I'm 6 years behind the curve of being interested in Harley Davidson's Milwaukee 8 motor.
That's probably screaming new technology.
About halfway through its life cycle already.
You're right.
But it's pretty sick. It is neat.
Yeah, dude.
Think like that's a huge difference about it too, is that if you look at like competitors' motorcycles and what I was saying with the fit and finish, you know, like it's not a secret by any means, but like the motors and everything, like the style choices, like they look like 3D printed prototypes in my opinion, you know, like they just don't have
the M8s.
No, like other, like say like the Indian
Challenger motor.
Yes. And, you know, like, it just looks like...
It looks like a model that you would buy from a store or something.
Yeah, it doesn't have, like, you know, like, Harley Davidson's such a good job with, like, contrast and, you know, like...
Best styling in the world, dude.
Yeah, it's just, like, it really...
Best styling in the world.
It really breathes some soul into the motor and, like, makes it look like something when... It doesn't necessarily have to look like anything, but it certainly doesn't hurt to have it look kind of fun.
Man, this is going to sound like such an asshole thing to say, but that's what I do.
We're already there. We're way past that.
But whether you want to buy and own a Harley Davidson is one thing.
Yeah.
I'm not a other brand hater or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. Anyone who tells me they just don't like Harleys, like they don't even like how they look, like they don't like how they feel. I can't imagine someone riding a Harley and getting off of that thing and it not at least being like, yo, that's cool.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to buy one, but that was cool.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't. Anyone who's saying that, I always ask them, like, have you ever ridden one?
Yeah.
And that's a little subjective because there's some fucking shitty ones to ride.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, if you ride a proper one, dude, if you ride anything I got in this garage,
sure,
it'd be hard to get off that thing without saying some positive shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I feel like that you could equate it to, like, riding in a muscle car for the first time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to come out of a muscle car, and you're going to be interested in, you know, bikes and cars in any capacity and not have some kind of smile on your face.
Right.
Or, you know?
What a good analogy, because, like, for a guy that maybe likes, like, modern sports cars,
sure,
even if you don't like muscle cars or you don't want to like own one,
yeah,
there's no way you could drive one and not be like, this was fucking rad.
Yeah, or like, even just being a passenger in one and like, you know.
Yeah,
I think that I'll tell you a story.
Here it comes.
So we got back from where do we go? Oh, we went to the Prowl this year.
Uh-huh.
And me and DJ rode bikes home really fast, you know, like probably faster than I've ever gone on bikes.
And you were on his twin cam FXR.
I was on his twin cam FXR, and he's on his Suzuki Bandit 650
rad chopper. Yeah, long bike. Straight front end.
It is like a predecessor to the street bike motor, like a Gixxer, but an 11-foot long sprung.
Wait, that's a Bandit engine?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I'm going to show you a picture of a bike I built with a Bandit engine in it. Anyways, I don't want to keep going with
your story. That bike is fun, and yeah. they roll hard. You know, like, I think that bike tops out at, like, 115, and we were going all that. And I'm not, like, Mr. Fast Guy, you know, like, I'm, like, chilling, you know, just yeah. as much as anybody else. But we are ready to be home. So we get all the way back to Phoenix, and nobody wanted to ride motorcycles anymore, but we had to go out for dinner. So we decided to do the old switcheroo, and everybody was just going to ride everybody else's bike, so at least the ride to the restaurant would be interesting. Right. So I rode Garrett's pink shovelhead.
How was that?
Garrett rode the twin cam FXR, and DJ rode, I can't remember.
Like Kaylee's bike or something?
Probably something.
What, so, dude, how's Garrett's bike?
Garrett said it was dialed in. He's like, it was not dialed in. And he just rode it all the way down to Bisbee and back. So I, you know, like I was like totally like, yeah, totally, 100%. You know, like he says it's good. He's a lot better with this stuff than I am. And I got on it and I'm just like, I was tired and, you know, like the day was late. It's got a girder front end on it.
Yep.
It's a foot clutch jockey head shovel head. And even though I have one too, like every bike is just
Everyone, yeah, it's a different feel. Different. They're like women, dude.
Yeah.
He's you got to get on them and feel them out.
He's got a round side Mikuni on it. It's got like a super heavy duty throttle because those, you know, like tend to get sprung really hard.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I had a really good day. I should have called the quits. You know, I should have quit while I was ahead. I didn't. I'm like, I'm going to ride Garrett's bike. So I ride it, stall it out at a stop sign, kick it back. We're back on the road. And we immediately jump right on the expressway in Phoenix, which isn't like a slow and chill thing. And I'm just on Garrett's bike. Absolutely.
Haven't you ever watched a YouTube video on how to fucking foot clutch shift?
I have not.
YouTube it, bro. Anyways, yeah.
But,
so you're getting on this highway.
So we're getting on the highway and we're just jamming and I'm absolutely terrified, you know, because like the girder, you know, like the wheels getting caught and then the lines in the road and like Phoenix has like those really crazy like cut highways.
Oh, yeah, those concrete highways.
For the rain to dissipate and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I'm so tired and I'm going to fucking die on this bike. And like, I can't believe I decided to ride it. Like, all we have to do is make it to the restaurant. I'm not riding at home. And I was just like, being terrified is, like, it just makes you feel alive. Like, you never feel more alive than when you're terrified.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And it's just like, you know? Oh, yeah. And I think that that is, like, a piece that sells everybody on Harley-Davidson when you first ride one. You know? Just because it's, like, it's kind of a lot, you know, it's aggressive, it's oh, in yeah. your face, you know, like you feel like you're on kind of a monster.
Yeah, even if you're riding a dragon, dude.
I mean, even if it's like a bone stock bike and you've never ridden one before, like there has to be some kind of level of intimidation, like I'm riding a Harley Davidson,
mm-hmm.
you know, like if you're coming from like the world of Triumph or something, like you have to be intimidated. And I don't know, I feel like that it would be hard to not enjoy it at the very least.
Right. Dude, I know.
Nobody doesn't have a story to tell about their first time riding a Harley Davidson.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to tell people, for people that are new to the podcast, because at the time I didn't really have an audience, let's say, like uh-huh. I have now. My audience still isn't that big, but still. go back and listen to the first time Rick was on this podcast, like 4 years ago.
At the block
and he
party,
tells
right?
the stories of his early first rides and stuff. Those are some good fucking stories, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy just how much.
And also, here's a fun fact for you listeners. Me and Rick have a matching tattoo of the 100th Laconia. If I don't have a sticker here at the table, but we had stickers made up. It's a caricature kind of me, like the Monopoly man, like the gentleman, and Rick as a chicken. And it's us on this tattoo. Anyways, Rick showed us a picture yesterday of his, what was that, a Road King?
No, that was a purple Road King? Heritage Softail. Oh,
he had his first Harley was a purple Heritage Softail, and he's a baby on this thing, dude. But
no hair.
We're getting also this was Rick's idea after we got the Laconia one. We're gonna go to the 100th Daytona. Which also, me and Rick have never been to Daytona. It's probably going to be the only Daytona we're
at. Yeah.
Just heads up. So, we're going to get a 100th Daytona one. But it's going to be of... I'm thinking... I just thought of this, too. We didn't even talk about this yesterday.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be Rick as a baby on that purple Heritage. And I think I should be sitting bitch on it. I think that should be the tattoo. Right? I hear Brandon laughing over there. Brandon, what happened, dude? You just can't handle it?
I can't.
Yeah, Brandon had a rough one, dude.
That suit sat so heavy on my stomach.
All right.
What year Daytona is it this year?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know anything about Daytona. I went to, before I started the podcast, I did like a dozen episodes that I did before the podcast came out. I had the first like 12 recorded.
Uh-huh.
And the way I did it was, I went on a 2-week road trip, and I had just contacted everyone I wanted to talk to. I started it off in Tennessee at the Motorcycle Music Revival.
Yeah.
And the only person I had lined up was Bare Knuckle Paul ahead of time.
Yeah.
Who I released his as the first episode, but it wasn't the first I ever recorded of this stuff. I recorded some back home first too, but I figured Tennessee would be a good place to drum up more people.
Sure.
And that's when I met Bill Dodge, and I went to Bill Dodge's shop after Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I went to Biketoberfest. Happened to be that week.
Yeah.
That's the only Daytona event I've ever participated in. And
yeah,
I never went to the real bike week in March.
Yeah.
And I'm the 100th is the only one. What's the year? Did you look it up?
It's 83. So this year was the 83rd. So we have 17 years.
Okay. When's this? And Sturgis is the 85th next year. We're going to that.
Yeah. So I think that Daytona 100 is in 17 years. And then the next year after that is the Sturgis.
No.
Or maybe
Sturgis. No, Sturgis would be first. 2 years before that.
Okay. And then Daytona's last.
Because if you said what 83rd just happened in Daytona.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and Sturgis is 84 this year. So it's only going to be 1 year apart, dude. We're going to be on a tattoo roll that year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to definitely be a busy year for us for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, this year is the 84th Sturgis.
Okay.
So Sturgis is going to beat Daytona by 1 year.
Right. So in 16 years from now. No. Yeah, in 16 years from now, we'll get the 100th Sturgis.
Yeah.
And then in
so if you
this
have
is how
kid,
bad we are at math.
If I can't you have even... a kid this year, they probably will have a driving permit.
Right, right.
By the time we make this.
Right.
This pipe
dude,
dream
I
reality.
I do want to have a kid, and it would be rad to bring him to those hundredths.
Yeah.
Because they'll be like 15, 16 at
sure,
the time. Sure,
100%.
Fucking
that's
blow that
to
kid's mind,
that.
Dude.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you imagine that? I've seen people take their kids like around that teenage age.
Oh, sure, 100%.
Dude, that'll blow that kid's mind, dude.
Yeah, who knows what it'll be like in that long, you know? Like, that's a pretty big span for change to occur.
Right. We'll be on e-bikes and shit.
You know, just for an example, you know, like, I mean, that's enough time for the institutional people who we know and look up to and respect now to, you know...
Unfortunately, some of them won't
even
be around.
You're gonna be damn near 100 yourself.
Yeah, shit, dude. Yeah, but that's gonna be exciting. And the good news is, we got 16 years to think about what the Sturgis tattoo is gonna look like.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's the Daytona tattoo, though. You on your first bike with me sitting bitch. Dude. That's such a good one.
Because
it's such a daddy Daytona bike. Dude.
Yeah.
Like this purple Heritage with the fucking leather bags on it and shit.
I hope I have more of a gut and I fill out a little bit more before the Sturgis 100th. But I would definitely get like the across the stomach bar Sturgis 100. I would be super down for that.
Maybe Sturgis tramp stamps.
Dude, I'm not above a tramp stamp. I can be talked into a tribal tramp stamp on the Sturgis 100th. You think I take myself that seriously? I don't. I'll do that shit.
Oh, that'd be fucking crazy. Yeah, I mean, dude, and at that point, I'd be so old. I'd just be like,
yeah,
Sturgis tramp stamp, let's go. Yeah.
Yeah, best case scenario for that, I'll have been married for at least 15 years without a kid.
Right.
That'd be best case scenario.
Oh my God. That'd be cool too if I took my kid on, because you're talking 16 years from now, even if you got someone pregnant today, it'd be like another year basically before a kid pops out, you know?
Yeah, nine months traditionally.
Yeah, you know what I mean though. You got to just easy numbers. We've already established we're horrible at math.
Yeah.
So easy numbers would be have a kid in a year. Yeah. Even still, the kid's still not even old enough to ride himself. You know?
But right there.
Or her.
Certainly. You
know? But imagine.
The right age to be inspired, you know? Like, because I mean, I think that. When was Biker Build-Off huge? You know, like when did
04 or something? Yeah. 02. I don't even know the exact years.
Yeah. But. So I was like 13 years old. Like I was like the prime age to like vacuum all that shit in my brain.
Right.
You know?
The guy Big Nick I was telling you that bike I was showing you that I did TIG welding on and stuff the Gorgeous Killer me and him were really really close when he was on Long Island before he moved to California and he had every single one recorded on VHS dude. Uh-huh. He had all those we watched those things so many times in his garage dude. Yeah. Oh my God.
And, like, I wasn't, like, into them like that, but if they were on TV, my family was, like, sitting and watching them. And none of us had motorcycles. Like, none of us were into motorcycles. It was just, like, a thing that was happening on TV.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where, like, it was kind of like watching wrestling, I guess, in some ways. You know, like, it was just, like, what we did on, like, Wednesday nights or whatever on the Discovery Channel.
Right.
But... Yeah, I mean, it wasn't probably for like another 15 years after that that I even accidentally kind of ended up with a motorcycle and then rode it and enjoyed it, you know? So it's interesting that like just because you're not into it and just because like it does leave a mark on you in some way, you know? Like I didn't grow up racing dirt bikes. Like we weren't around. We had mini bikes, right. You know? So that was like the closest and we weren't like... chomping on the bit to customize those or, you know, get welders or anything. But, like, that show at that time just was, like, enough to, like, seed our brains for the future.
Yeah.
And then later on when we got into it, like, it all started coming back in, like, a much more major way.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a bit younger than me. Like, I was already an adult. Like, I was already riding motorcycles.
You were already when those shows came out. Like, afford some equipment.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was already running welders and, like, I was already there.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, in 02, I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
So, like, it was already on for me, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, I know you've always made it a point, like, when we visit a lot, like, when we were at Perowitz's or, like, Paul Cox's, like, to be like, dude, you have no idea how much those shows, like, impacted a generation.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And those guys are always like, you think? And you're like, dude, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, they're always, 100%. Like, surprised, you know?
Yeah. You know, like, I mean, that's real, without a doubt, you know? Rarely does that ever not come up in conversation with somebody.
Right.
Usually at some point in time, you know, somebody's going to tell you how they got started.
Right.
And that's almost a conversation that happens every time, you know, like, you know, it was kind of like, you know, where were you when 9/11 happened? It's like, where were you when, you know, when Gas Monkey Garage was, you know, all over your TV screen.
Right.
You know, that your dad bought from somewhere that fell out of the back of a truck and then now it's in your living room and...
right. You know. Yeah. Yeah, it's all funny, man. Yeah. I think it's so funny.
And it's cool, like, and we're super lucky that we, you know, that we get to, like, see these people and, like, spend time with them. And then, you know, like, they're receptive to us and, you know, like, want to spend some time chatting and will give us the time. I think that that's great, you know, because especially from their generation of what they were coming out of and everything, like, they were legitimately the superstars. And, you know, like, I think that they don't necessarily need to treat us the way they do by any means, but they choose to be nice and, you know, are interested in, you know, giving us kind of like a peek behind the curtain,
yeah.
You know, like showing us what they have going on now, which is still crazy, innovative, you know, mind-blowing stuff. A lot of the cases of what we get to see, you know, it's very cool.
Yeah, and it's awesome.
They are, you know, most of the people that we've met so far are, like, so legitimately into it that, like, they will die doing this. You know?
Yeah.
Like, they...
Same with us. It's like, yeah. This shit ain't going nowhere, dude. You know?
No.
This is a lifetime
addiction.
There's
no way that, you know, like, a BMW car is gonna, like, invoke the feeling that a motorcycle
right.
gives me, you know? Like...
Yeah.
I think that I picked my lane a long time ago, and I am very happy to be here, and it's, it fills my bucket.
Yeah. There's also no world like the Harley world. Like,
yeah.
The community and the lifestyle...
Sure.
You're
yeah.
never going to get that from another brand.
Yeah,
it just doesn't, you know.
No.
It's like, my friend that married me or whatever, married us, however you phrase that. I don't even know how to phrase that. It's still funny to say that. But,
the person who officiated your wedding.
Yeah. Fucking, he's a, so when we were younger, when we were all riding sport bikes, he had an R1, he had several sport bikes, and, he would take his dad had a Screamin' Eagle CVO Road King, that like two-tone goldish paint job. It was probably like an 06 or something.
Yeah.
No, now that I think about it, his R1 was an 04 he bought for it. Yeah, I mean, I think that bike was like an 02 or something.
Yeah.
It was in earlier 2000s. Anyways, he used to take that every now and then, and he'd fucking bitch about it and stuff.
Yeah.
And, I had just built my first bike, and I think I got my FXR in 07.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, after I did a little hot rod shit with it, I remember letting him ride that thing. Besides
yeah.
his dad's fucking Road King, it was only Harley ever rode.
Yeah.
Dude, and just the other day, he's like, I want you to look for an FXR for me, because I had it at the wedding, too.
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, I'll never forget ripping this bike around back then. Like,
yeah.
Because he hasn't seen that bike in a while.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, I want one. Like, look for an FXR. Like
yeah.
you can't not fucking ride a proper Harley, like
yeah.
we were saying, and not get off without being like, this is sick.
But, you know, like, Harley-Davidson has all of their different model bikes for a reason, you know? Like, they are different tools for different jobs.
Right.
And, you know, like, you see all the bar hopper people, you know, run out and get street glides and road glides and everything, and it's like, dude... Like, it's cool that you have that bike, but ultimately, it's not, like, the right tool for the job. And, like,
right.
you're kind of, in my opinion, I mean, this might be a crazy thought, but, like, you're kind of, like, doing yourself a disservice, riding the wrong piece of equipment in that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you could just be having a lot more fun and something... Like a Lowrider ST
yes.
that has your little baggies and it has your little fairing and your little, you know.
Yeah.
And it's got all your stuff, but like it's just, if you're bombing around town,
yeah,
you know, like you're going to probably have a lot more fun and be able to throw that bike around a little bit more and, you know, and do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I really... think that, you know, but like if you're going on like a cross-country road trip, by all means go out and get the
right.
road glide, and you're gonna have a tremendous time on that thing.
Yeah, I always
you know?
Got a, I always thought that was so weird too, like with this new bagger craze, like
yeah
guys that don't really road trip, they're just local bar hopper kind of guys.
Yeah,
why did you choose that bike?
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, like, honestly, it just makes life a lot harder than it needs to be. Like, you have to run, like, a bigger, heavier-duty trailer, you know? Like, if you have a Lowrider, you could just chuck that in the back of a pickup truck, you know? It's,
right.
like, not really that big of a deal. But, like, you got a lot more size and weight to be dealing with that, like, is really unnecessary.
I will say a big thank you to all of the bagger guys on the internet that I do watch videos of that are trying to load those baggers in pickup trucks.
Yeah.
That fail.
Yeah.
Those are some entertaining videos.
Those are definitely very entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
I mean, buy whatever motorcycle you want, you know? And, like, if you do have a dream of, like, riding it far and doing all that, then get you know, maybe get the bigger bike, you know, or whatever. But
right.
I don't know. You know, like, if you're going to put somebody on a Harley Davidson to go ride around the block and everything, like, are you going to put them on an Ultra Classic, you know? Because
right.
are they, you know, like... Why start there, you know, when you get started on...
This is the greatest sales pitch I've ever heard for the motor company. Something more fun. Why are you doing that?
Yeah. But just saying what your dad said, you know, like, he rode, you know, the 06, and, right. you know, that was big, and then he rode the FXR, and he lights up, and it's like, yeah, because, you know, it's like putting on a good pair of pants.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, this fits, yeah. you know? Like,
it's like going from whiskey to wine, dude, like... You know, it's like, or, well, the opposite, when you yeah. go bagger to FXR, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, what do you think, this is, like, hard for both of us to predict, because we fucking switch these bikes up like underwear.
Yeah.
We're going to Sturgis next year. What do you think you'll be riding?
To Sturgis next year?
Yeah.
It could be anything. It could definitely be anything. I think that... I don't know. Like, I'd have to really think about it. But, like, something that I'd be really interested in riding this Sturgis.
Yeah, sure. Dream yeah. situation in a year from now. What are you thinking?
I don't know. I have some dreams to, like, ride, like, small displacement bikes across the country. Like, weird, you know.
Pink scooters?
Not pink scooters. Not that small displacement, but, you know.
But just, like, as weird.
Some kind of, like, Honda.
Yeah.
You know, just something stupid just to do it, because I think it's a funny.
Wing? Think huh? you're gonna get a wing?
No, like a small, like a CL 350 or something, or a CB, you know, 550 or something.
Yeah.
Rick's
gonna get a gold wing, and then right before Sturgis, instead yeah. of going to Sturgis, he's gonna call me and be like, "Bro, I'm canceling Sturgis. I'm going to the Wing Ding." Yeah. You ever hear that?
Oh yeah.
It's like the Sturgis for gold wings.
Oh yeah, and it moves around. Like,
yeah, it's a different place every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick. Fucking good for him, you know. Like, I respect it. But, like, yeah. I want to ride across the country on a rigid. You know, like, that's on the list of things to do.
Yeah. We were talking about that.
But I don't know. I really do love Evo Sportsters.
Yeah.
And if I have to spend the rest of my life on one, I don't really think that I would be upset about that. Like, they're
hard to
they
hate.
They are just so good at so many things and not dying, yeah. in my opinion.
Yeah, except mine almost lighting on fire today.
Yeah. There is that.
Yeah. It's funny. I've owned every model Harley... except for Ultra Classic, anything panhead and up.
Mm-hmm.
1950 panhead's the earliest I've ever owned, and every model up except for, I never owned a Sportster.
Mm-hmm.
Until this one.
Yeah. You had a Road King?
Yeah.
Huh.
I had a Road King I bought in the summer of, or like spring of, no, I bought the Road King. Yeah. I was going to say the wrong year. I bought the Road King in the summer of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And I already had my Dyna, and I, like, hot boyed the Dyna out. I went wild with it. And then I was doing a 30-day trip across country,
mm-hmm.
Which was supposed to be my first EDR.
Yeah.
And I hated the Road King so much.
Mm-hmm.
That me and my girlfriend took the Dyna instead, which really? she was not happy about.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah.
But I didn't care, man. I didn't. I never liked that Road King. I can't. I don't like baggers. Like, that whole platform is just like, even on the highway, just like, I'm not into them, man.
Yeah.
I had an Ultra Classic one time. Not an Ultra Classic. A Street Glide.
Mm-hmm.
That I had down in Florida, and I just hated it. Like, I remember it was the first time I ever had music on a bike, mm-hmm. and I hated it.
Yeah.
I love music now. This is years and years later. It had cruise control. I fucking hated that. Like, yeah. I never liked baggers, dude. Like,
yeah.
all the doodads, all, like, I've tried them all. Like, I just don't like them.
Yeah.
They're just not my thing.
Yeah.
You know, and the biggest thing I don't like about them is, going back to what you said,
is like here on Long Island, it's a suburbanish kind of area. Like,
yeah, we rode every road that we rode on today had like major curves and twists in it, you know, like,
yeah,
even though it's like residential area, you know, for the most part, and like I would say like reasonably dense in terms of population.
Yeah,
like the roads are pretty windy, you know, and I imagine that if you had a really big motorcycle, it would be a lot less enjoyable to maneuver around town here, you know, like it would
that be, was my big gripe with them.
You'd really like, have to like,
and we didn't even go into move. Town today, like we just did like back roady stuff, but like, dude, around town, they're just a fucking handful.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, and that's... And I am a smaller guy.
The like, right tool for the job, you know what I mean? Like...
Yeah.
They're not supposed to be in this neighborhood, in my opinion. You know? Like, it's just...
It's, you're doing yourself an enjoyment disservice.
Yeah. You know? You really like, are. You could have spent a lot less money and had a lot more fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, like, the opposite of what you want to do when you spend your money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yo, but also speaking of that, I know we were going to try and keep this short, but we do have to talk about this.
Yeah.
Sports through summer, baby.
Yeah.
We're
back at it.
Yeah. Brandon, did you want to get your disabled ass off the couch and come back in here for the sports through summer convo? You don't have to. I'm just saying. It might help a little. Me and Rick are really carrying the team here. Brandon even has his Sportster hat on, dude.
Sportster hat?
Yeah.
Oh, Sportster hat.
Sick Sportster,
FXA triangle. Sportsters have a triangle.
Yeah, somewhere in there. They're there.
You know what I never really understood is that why nobody ever shortened a, like, a FXR frame and jammed a Sportster in there? I don't know, maybe they have.
Someone's done it.
Yeah, there's a local guy.
There's a dude who did it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Rhode Island guy.
Oh, is that the guy with the Indian gas tank?
I don't know.
No.
I feel like I've seen it before. I don't know the guy he's talking about.
Yeah, there's a guy, he's a Rhode Island guy, younger kid, did it. His old man has been into bikes for years and years. My dad knows him, he's good friends with the dude.
How much more awesome did the bike get?
Reliable.
No, but I'm serious. Like, that lighter, is it a lighter drivetrain at all?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it must have felt awesome.
Yeah, an Evo Sportster, for sure. All aluminum. Well, I don't know.
Actually, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they weigh pound for pound. I mean, I know what an Evo engine alone weighs, but I don't know what the whole drivetrain package is.
Factory Evo Sportster weighs 100 pounds less than a dyno.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. Huh. I'll tell you right now, I have it in my notes. I bet you that my FXR, that 90, I guarantee it's lighter than most Sportsters out there. Mm. I'll tell you right now, I got the weights of a couple of my bikes.
Where do you, how do you figure that?
My friend has race car scales.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, Sportster Summer, man. I don't know. What's the deal?
We're excited to do it. It's going to be the best year yet for sure. This is year number 3. We've certainly figured out a real lot of things over the last couple of years about fine tuning and, you know, kind of, I think that we spent the last 2 years kind of pushing our limits to see how far we could go.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a pretty good gauge of where we actually want to be in terms of like making it fun and
realistic expectations.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And, you know, being able to go out there and hammer down some off-road miles without feeling like, you know, you just ran a marathon and you have to do another one tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Right. Now that I'm looking at the number, I thought it was lighter. I haven't looked at it in years, but 575. I bet you a lot of Sportsters weigh that, though.
I can't remember what the actual number is, but I do have a fun.
It was 498.
Oh, really? The bike just feels so light, dude. Even when those Japanese guys, like, they were like, yo, this is the lightest FXR I've ever felt. But yeah, Sportster Summer, dude. I'm excited. I'm not doing anything to the bike. As upset as that makes you guys. No, this is like the point of Sportsters. When I put that bike together, I have not turned a screw on it. Like, and I, like, except I don't even, after you crashed I don't it. Even know if I fucking changed the oil yet. That's funny. Like, I've done nothing to that bike except destroy it. Like, literally. Yeah, I'm trying to think, even when I crashed it, what did, the original wreck. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about jam. That one. Yeah, well, besides that, I don't count that.
Yeah, we can't count that van thing. Jam.
Yeah. Yeah, Sportster Summer, for anyone who wants to do it. You got the dates, Rick?
I do. It's June 6th to 8th in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
That's where the start is. We are staying at the same hotel that we stayed last year, the Penn Wells Hotel.
I thought we were going across the street or something.
There's the Penn Wells Lodge and there's the Penn Wells Hotel. I think that we stayed at the hotel last year. Mm. And this year we're going to stay at the lodge because it has a pool. Killer. And that's really important to team for some reason.
Yeah.
No comp.
Sure hope he brings his bathing suit.
Oh, yeah, dude. I hope he brings a Speedo.
I hope he doesn't.
Tim, please bring a Speedo, dude. Please.
That'd be a statement.
That's going to be dope, dude. Is anywhere else we're staying have a hot tub?
I'm not sure, but the plan is to do the same thing that we did last year, which was awesome. You know, like, we basically spent 2 days on the road, and we covered everything from, you know, rural areas with no cell phone service for the entire day to, you know, like, hitting gas stations where they didn't accept cards. You know, it was, like, cash only, guy's, like, you know, like, doling out cash through like a cigar box that he has.
82 octane. Know?
Yeah. Then, yeah, it was so crazy. The
worst fuel ever.
And he was like, you want gas or moonshine? Yeah. Like, I'll take both.
And then we make it all the way at the end to State College, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, which is my favorite hotel.
Back to the modern universe of like College Town USA, where everything's available.
Yeah.
And
people start looking at you funny once you enter society.
Oh yeah, especially when we're all in overalls covered in dirt on like these
tripping on
freak machine sportsters.
Yeah. Jumping across their sidewalks and shit.
And like running through construction zones.
Allegedly.
You know?
Yeah, allegedly. That looks like a good jump. Let's turn around.
That was so much fun.
Oh my god.
That was definitely one of the highlights of my motorcycling career.
Yeah, that's such a fun fucking just trip, being dude.
Silly gooses with the boys.
Yeah, Sportster Summer is going to be awesome. There's, I know, all you guys got to do is just show up. There's no, like, entry fee or none of that. No. Just show up and...
You got to have a Sportster. It's got to be an Ironhead, Evo, or RevMax.
Yeah, any steel frame Sportster.
To see somebody come out with a brand new Sportster.
Oh, I thought it was steel frame. Is the new one steel frame? I thought that was Tim's requirement.
There's no way that the new Sportster is aluminum frame.
That's true.
That would be incredible.
Imagine someone thrashes a brand new one.
I would love that. Yeah, I would love that. Awesome. I would love to be that person.
Yeah, me too. That would be rad. Yo, Twisted Road. Twisted Road's the rental company, right?
I think so.
Yeah, Twisted Road. I'm looking for a sponsorship.
Yeah, just let me borrow your bike.
With that rental.
We promise we will return it in some sort of condition. We'll take out the extra insurance on
it. Yeah. I do. All joking aside, I think I'm getting it right. Twisted Road is that bike rental company where you can, like, rent private bikes.
Uh-huh.
Like, if I wanted, I could put these on the website.
Yeah.
I really do.
That makes me immediately have a concern about that. Yeah. Because if the bikes that we're renting are like your bikes.
Mm-hmm. I can't put normal people on those bikes, dude. No. But you don't have to be a part of it. You could just rent bikes from them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to give my bikes up.
Sure.
I'm just saying that's how it works, though. Private people put their bikes on this site for you to rent. And I would love, if someone has a Twisted Road, if someone knows someone at Twisted Road, I would love to talk to them. Like, for this lifestyle I live, I'd be a perfect brand ambassador for them.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I fly all over the country at this point, but I borrow friends' bikes, or, like, I'll usually leave a bike somewhere in the country.
Yeah.
Like, Twisted Road would change my life, dude.
Yeah.
Let's go, dude. Who's got that hookup?
I would just love if I had three strategically placed Sportsters or just motorcycles in general.
I've thought about that.
To the point of where, like, I like when people come to Connecticut and, like, they take one of my bikes. It's like, come ride my bikes, you know, like, halfway across the country. Like, right. You can do that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to take out a big insurance policy. Like, if you crash it, just make sure you kill it. Like, we'll both end up pretty good. And, go drag my bike out in the middle of nowhere, and I'll go pick it up and, you know, enjoy the ride back.
I can't wait for the messages you get about that.
Yeah.
What's his name? Fucking when Astro Man was on here, him and fucking Fat Man gave their address out because they thought it'd be funny for people to. Dude, people were sending them like hot dogs and random stickers. Oh, I swear to God, dude,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So hit up Rick if you want to fucking wreck one of his bikes, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Sports of Summer is definitely one that I look forward to every year.
Oh
yeah, and if you guys have any questions too, contact Tim Stad at Gigastat.
Yeah.
What is it, Gigastat Cycle on Instagram?
I
think it's Gigastat Cycle on Instagram.
Yeah, I think it's Gigacycle.
Or Gigacycle.
Something like that.
It's their red and white picture.
Lowbrow too.
Oh yeah, Lowbrow. They have the info.
Yeah, Lowbrow has all the information on there.
And you can also read about our previous years on there. I think Rick, you wrote the blog for Lowbrow. About the previous year's trips?
I think so. I can't remember if I wrote it or Tim wrote it. I'm pretty sure I wrote it.
Yeah.
I sent my picture somewhere.
Yeah. And then also, it's called the Happy Valley Rally this year. For no other reason than, like, it's just a more fun and unique name. And
after you bought that tie-dye shirt, when we were tripping out in State College.
Yeah.
I think it was all but settled at that
point.
But, so if you go to happyvalleyrally.com, it'll bring you to the website that I made that has all of the basic information, what to expect, the hotel locations, the dates and times where we're going to be. And I think it gives a really honest review of what you would expect coming on this trip and what you would need to prepare for.
Right. And also... if you guys want, Jay Kenny will be there this year, and he'll sign your butt cheeks.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah, that'll be easy. The easiest thing you do all weekend.
I don't know, man. You guys got anything else to say?
No, I'm a man of few words today.
Yeah. Dude, I really wish we got you last night. Oh, my God.
Dude, I was lost in the sauce. Lost in the sauce and the CeeLo. That CeeLo did it for me.
Yeah, that and Pat's Television.
Pat's Television.
Fucking kid.
Fucking Asian imported cigarettes with the snap, the flavor beads.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
You guys know where to reach everyone. I'll see you next week.
See ya.